Hey, hey, if you're listening to that music, you know that you're listening to another special edition of Spiritual Perspectives, looking at the real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. This is your host, Scout Bartlett, and we're initiating out of KEST Radio in San Francisco, simulcast on www.kestradio.com. This morning we have an absolutely lovely guest. Our guest grew up as a young girl, that makes sense, grew up in Iran, and because of the limitations of the culture, basically the four walls of her family home were the limit of her world. All during her childhood, her one ambition was to set herself and other women free from the oppression of family traditions that treated women as less than human. She left Iran to go study in England at 19 and became a nurse, but sometime after that, actually became critically ill with a life-threatening tumorous growth. There was a surgery to remove that growth, but it was not completely successful. She still found herself in ill health and began an 18-month intensive study, there's nothing like feeling horrible to give you some motivation, into alternative healing methods to see what else might be available. A friend gave her a copy of the book Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, which explains a Christian Science system of healing through prayer. In working intensively with those precepts and concepts, she not only cured herself physically, but through that study, she also tore off the mental veil of repression and limitation and found her freedom to achieve things she never believed possible as an Eastern woman, and now literally affects and travels the world, frequently interviewed on BBC, and today as our guest here on Spiritual Perspectives. Everybody, I'd like to introduce you to Marta Greenwood. Marta, this is everybody.
Oh, thank you. Hi, everybody.
What a treat to have you here, and what a delight. And you're actually going to be here in the Bay Area speaking. We'll give people details for that. But your topic is God's Law of Abundance in the Divine Economy. There's a subtext there that says universal spiritual laws that you can rely on. So universal spiritual laws. I know Mary Baker Eddy's book, Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures, was written back when the word science actually meant a little more than laundry detergent, but actually meant the ability to have a replicable result. Now you're talking about being able to teach people universal spiritual laws in a way that they can rely on them.
Yeah, you know, and that, I love what you said about science. Her book starts with science first. Science is the knowledge of God, which comes through that science of Christ that was hidden or lost for all these years since the first century. Christ Jesus, you know, it was practiced with that early church. And Mary Baker Eddy discovered those universal laws or the principle behind it. And for over a century, people have practiced it to get that, you know, through that knowledge of God, be able to get the health of the, you know, the health of body, health of relationship, health of supply, health of anything, communities, everything. And it's really exciting. And that's what I talk about from personal experience, from where you said, you know, coming from that sickness, how we can all apply it. It's simple.
So that's one of the things that I like to point out to people is healing should not be reserved for disease. Yeah. And you just said that all the way up to healing for entire communities. So yeah. You mentioned this Christ as embodied by Jesus, and you mentioned Mary Baker Eddy studying this not as just an ancient history of one special guy that walked across the planet and did good, but actually, and I think it's in Matthew where he's quoted as saying, all these things I do, so shall ye do. You're looking at this as a study of healing and universal spiritual laws that anybody can tap into to the degree and they're willing to let go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I was always a Christian, but I really didn't understand. A lot of the Bible was a mystery to me. Not until I got the science of Christianity that the whole Bible opened up. And the more I studied the Gospels with the teaching of Christ Jesus, the more it opens up that knowledge of God, that the simplicity of Christ, that how much of these laws are here, and we're operating probably quite normally many times mm-hmm. without making that connection, because it's natural. Mm-hmm. It's natural.
So we're mentioning a couple of words that people may have some emotional charge on, like yeah. church and yeah. Christian. I know that you've got an international spiritual healing practice. Yeah. Does it, for someone to apply these universal laws, for someone yeah. to get something out of this, these lectures that you'll be doing, do they need to be a Christian Scientist? Do they need to be a sworn and avowed Christian? What belief systems do they have for this universal law to apply?
Do you know, at that, I tell you, the people that I work with, there are a lot of students of Christian Science, but majority are, there is a gynecologist, there's surgeons, there are medical nurses, there are Muslims, lots of Muslim friends that mm-hmm. are using it, because it's a universal law. It doesn't, you know, I love this passage, you know, from the Bible, where it says, "For God so loved the world." It says, "For God so loved the world," not the Christians, not the Jewish people, not the Muslim people, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the world is bringing that word love here, from that Greek word, is agape love. Love, which mm-hmm. talks about God's universal love, unconditional love, love that is so infinite that it doesn't put limits. You know, if you do such and such, then I will love you. No, it is the whole world that God loved. And the presence of Christ is always that presence of divine goodness. It's the presence of love. Again, Christ is universal. To me, anyway, I don't see it's copyrighted to the Christians.
Yeah. So we're talking universal laws that underlay everything. And I'd like to bring this out, because I noticed that when we're talking about the healing, the first healing that you did for yourself, there's a phrase here that says, in reading and studying, you recognized your own identity as a perfect child of God, or a perfect creation of the wholeness or the universe, yeah. if you're comfortable yeah. with the words other people yeah. use. You began identifying yourself as the mirror image of divine perfection, and started to feel an inner peace that you'd not felt before. And this is the phrase that really caught my eye. Resting in this inner peace, her body resumed its normal action or normal function, and she was healed. Expand on that, if you would. Yeah. Resting in this inner peace, your body resumed its normal function, and it was healed.
You see, what was stuck on me were the labels coming from a culture like, family culture like I did. You know, I was told all the time I was not worthy, I didn't have it, because really I should have been born a boy to my father, because he was looking for a son, bless him, until yours truly arrived and it was a girl. So it was all these things that were stuck with me. So where, and I think our thought creates our experience. So the thought, we could say, is the cause, and experience is the effect. And if we don't like our experiences, people are always changing experiences. Now, what if we stop still and changed our thoughts instead?
Ooh, you know? Say that again. People are always changing their experience.
Yeah. Like, for instance, I'm in a job that I'm not happy about, or relationship that I'm not happy about, or a country that I'm not happy. So I'm changing, looking for another country to be happy and prosperous.
That thing outside of me is supposed to fix me.
Yes, and it never does. So you keep changing it, but you get more baggage from what for place one to place two to place three, you see? But what if you stood still and changed your thought or consciousness, started from that perfect course instead of the flawed course, you know, which is my thinking tied to what I was given, you know, that conditioning that I believed about myself? What if I started to think out from God? That's a perfect course. Thinking out from God, What would my experience be? What would I see? And that was all the time, over and over, identifying with what God was, what I was, instead of what I was told, or what in the medical field, you know, in my, you know, the doctors predicted for me, you know, instead of that, replacing it and just staying with that total stillness. You know, what is it like when you're so still, the rest of your being becomes still. And then healing's natural, resting in this inner communication, resting in this is natural. But that healing doesn't stop with you. It spills in your home, in your neighborhood, and its ripples goes to the world.
So you've described, Marta, stepping out of, I'm going to phrase it this way, and then please correct or augment. Stepping out of a belief system that believes in what I'm seeing outside of me as being my reality.
Yes.
And reconnecting to, and I'll say reconnecting as opposed to finding in the first place, to, you say, a perfect cause, right?
Yes.
How do I get there?
Now, you know, to people, to me, it's called God. And Christ is the switch that shows me the light, you know, where I can go through. I'll read this definition Mary Baker Eddy got about Christ. She says, Christ is the true idea of voicing good, the divine message from God to men, speaking to the human consciousness, is following that voice of good rather than what is, you know, what if the fear, the doubt, the worry, the anxiety. So, but lots of people don't believe in God, but they do believe in love. If they fall in love, if they love the children, they love the parents, they believe in love.
Mm-hmm.
So is that love that is not conditional or human or limited, but that living out that consciousness of infinite, boundless love.
Now, there's one piece that I speak on frequently, and I'd like to retouch. Lots of times people really believe that, one, their mind, the little voice in their head, is on their side, and two, that they have no control over it, that it's in charge of them. And you just made a reference in that passage of that Christ element speaking to the human consciousness.
Yeah.
So where is consciousness come into this versus my mind is in charge of me and it says my boss is a jerk?
Yeah. Now, you know, that is lovely. I love that stuff. You know what is God speaks to us in our own words, using our own language. And sometimes it's so difficult to know what is the voice of God, what is the voice of my human self that is always doubting or condemning or criticizing or putting me down or all of these things. Well, the voice of God is always the voice of good. So
always the voice of good, okay.
Yeah. And that thing of hating my boss, it can be reversed. I have done that so many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have had to, I joined an organization. It was a charity organization. And in this organization, I thought it was dying on its legs. So I came thinking, I had so many lovely ideas, you know. So I jumped, very modest. So I jumped in there with both feet and I was telling them what they could do to prosper. Well, guess what? They hated me instantly. And they said, why did you come to join us? Go away, go away. And I realized,
and take these wonderfully good ideas.
Yes, we don't want it. That's why they were dying, because they wanted to stay where they're no longer related to the world. So I realized at that moment, I couldn't just go away. I had to just know at that moment, I had to learn that humility and that stillness that we were talking about. And the other thing that was demanded of me was to live unconditional love. And I had to just love them. You know, this work took a good part of 2 years.
Wow.
Yes. Discipline and principled practice. And there was one lady that really gave me a hard time. She would criticize. Every time I would start reading something, she would correct my English all the time, every word. It got to such a point that I didn't dare read anything. I would just give her the reading I had, or written, would give it to somebody to read it on my behalf. You know, after a little while, I had forgotten that. So I picked up the thing and started to read. And she started to do it again. And this time, now my thought had moved a long way through this practice of unconditionally loving them. And I adored them. And I thought that was so cute. Now I thought it was so cute. I actually laughed, you know. And I said to her, please, can you teach me how to speak English like you do? She was an actress. She said, come to tea. And she took me to her house and she taught me. And the end of it, I said, I've got to pay you for what you've taught. You know what she said? She said, no, Marta, I want you to go on loving me like you're loving me. And of course, everything changed. We grew and we became really relevant, but it came from them. I had to just see the good in them, and it came from them.
Marta's going to be teaching the universal spiritual laws that you can rely on and how to tap into the divine abundance, enriching your life, God's law of abundance in the divine economy. She's going to be right here in the Bay Area. This is Spiritual Perspectives. Our guest is Marta Greenwood, and let's let you know where you can find her.
With all the news about the economy's ups and downs, can we find a way to prosperity that is anchored in durable values? Yes, we can. And Christian Science International speaker Marta Greenwood is bringing her message, God's Law of Abundance in the Divine Economy, to the Bay Area. This free event is on the 12th of May at 7:30 p.m. at the First Church of Christ Scientists Menlo Park, located at 201 Ravenswood Avenue. Childcare is provided. For more information, call
650-322-5600. Hey, you feel some... yeah, that worked. If you're listening to that music, you know that you've dialed into Spiritual Perspectives, originating out of KEST in San Francisco, simulcast on KESTradio.com. This is Scout Bartlett, your host, and we're talking with Marta Greenwood about God's law of divine abundance, divine economy. God's law of abundance in the divine economy. Marta, you were just telling a story about intentionally, as you said, taking 2 years to discipline your own mind into letting yourself feel a sense of universal, which would mean, regardless of circumstance, love of a group that was difficult. I want to step back because you made that sound really easy. What were you doing to discipline your own mind to the place where they turned around and just appreciated your love rather than wishing you would just go away and not join their club?
You know, it was the most holiest of time. I learned the gift of silence. I really learned to not talk, but to listen. Mm-hmm. And as I developed that listening to God, I was shown really the goodness was in them already. I wasn't trying to manipulate to change them, but rather my own conception of what I have accepted about them, to see them as God saw them. I started to write myself gratitude lists for all of them, you know. Wow. And I would look for qualities that they expressed. It didn't, like love, it didn't have to be to me, but it was to each other, that love.
To see them as God saw them. I love that. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's fun.
Gratitude list.
And gratitude list. And to see, you know, when I saw they being so loving to one another, I realized at that moment that they are capable of loving. I had seen them as really not very nice people and hateful people, but they loved. So I would be grateful for that love. And you know, there was one lady that was really hard. I mean, this one that kept criticizing me all the time. And I would look for that soft center within her. And my, she was a 100-year-old actress, really well known in London. And she didn't get there for nothing. You know, she had developed this character. But I saw her soft side. And I it brought it out from them. And, you know, love is infectious. It needs one to start, started off, and then it goes. It goes around. It's like a light. You switch on, then it throws that light everywhere. And that's what the secret was, to see that presence to me as a Christian was the Christ there with them.
You know, I had a major breakthrough at one point when I was sitting in a bright orange cubicle in Dallas, Texas, working with a computer software company, when it struck me like a whack on the side of the head of, oh yeah, I am in a spiritual lifetime, on a spiritual path, regardless of my surroundings. This is my Zen retreat. And every time that they punch my buttons, that's my Zen meditation bell to say, come back to my center, refine my spiritual center. And that sounds similar to what you found in this other organization. Oh, bless their little hearts.
That is beautiful, Scott.
So when people are in a notion right now, and I certainly hope they'll come to your talks here in the Bay Area, but when they're in a notion right now where it looks to them like everything that's in their face is either they're worried about finding a job or they're worried about keeping their job or all of the other economic things, and you're talking about abundance, where can they start to shift their mind to make a difference when their reality says it's beans and rice time?
Yeah. You know, there was a time where my husband had lost his job. And that was at the time where it was like everything. What else was going to hit us? I was not well. My children weren't well. Then my husband walked in and said he's lost his job. And there was nothing, you know. And for 18 months, we finished his package. We were just down to just that much away from really terrible things. So I wouldn't even like to have imagined. So what I started to use, you know, one of the universal laws, which is really we operate so many times, but not enough, is that healing power of gratitude. How many times Jesus said before he wanted to heal something, thank you, Father, that you hear my prayers. And then he went on to feed 5,000 people from just two loaves and five loaves and two fishes. And that is what I did. I used gratitude. I used every organ of my body as organ of salvation and focused on what God was and all that abundance over and over again. Instead of all the time looking what we didn't have, to see things that we had spiritually was my eyes. I could see, and I would only see that universe that was so rich. And you rush around, you don't even see it. You know, my ears to listen to what was so good. And every time I walked, I used my legs to give gratitude and rejoicing for all the good, because we had to walk everywhere to save money. And you know, that I felt so rich, spiritually so rich. And one day, two things happened on the same day. I was invited to become a Christian Science reading room librarian, which had a salary I didn't know. And I came home and my husband had a letter that offered him a job exactly where he was. So we recouped everything. It is daring to trust that universal presence of eternal love, infinite love, that is with us, and we can all tap into it. It's just staying with the light rather than letting the darkness creep in it turns around. I've seen that happen again and again in my life and with people I have helped so many times.
And yet there's this one place that I see people stumble, which is, okay, I'm focusing on the good, I'm focusing on the good, I'm focusing on the good. And it sort of turns in their mind of that means that I just sit home in my chair and focus on the good and wait for God to drop by and drop off my job offer.
Oh,
so what's the second half? There's
you
focusing
know,
on the good and...
the result of your prayer is the action. You've
action.
Got to follow with the action. It doesn't drop in your lap. You've got to... the ideas. Listen to the ideas that come to you. And follow them through.
Follow them through.
You know, it's really important. Is shift. You know, prayers, when you pray, I love...
That's exactly one of the questions we always ask. What does that word mean for you? What does pray mean?
Prayer, I love. You know, when you pray, if you've got... you're opening your thought to this light. And this light that you open up to, you've got to accept change in your life. It always shifts. Of thought brings shift of position, of experience. You know, you're lifted out of one place, put to another place. I know one woman that prayed diligently for her marriage, you know, and the more she prayed, it fell apart. And she just kept thinking, why is this happening to me? But that was because they had both moved on. They were to meet the next life experience with the next partners, which were just the right ones for them. But at that time you're going through, you don't understand what happens. And you know that laws, God's universal laws of good is ever present. And I love what Mary Baker Eddy puts about prayer. She says, prayer cannot change the science of being, that God's universal laws of good, she calls the science of being. Prayer cannot change the science of being, but it tends to bring us into harmony with it. And change is one of those things that we're moved from one position to another, and not to worry when things go topsy-turvy or upside down. It's because the change, the shift, the transformation is taking us to our next point of connection.
Fabulous. Marta, I wish we had hours and hours and hours to talk. Marta will be here in the Bay Area presenting God's Law of Abundance in the Divine Economy. And I want to say one of her comments is, as loved children of God or of the universe, whatever your preference of words, as loved children of God, we already have all that we need within our own consciousness. And we don't need to look anywhere else to find it, but rather to claim it. This is Spiritual Perspectives. This is your host, Scout Bartlett, originating out of KEST in San Francisco, www.kestradio.com. And I just want to remind you, no matter where in the world you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose.
With all the news about the economy's ups and downs, can we find a way to prosperity that is anchored in durable values? Yes, we can. And Christian Science International speaker Marta Greenwood is bringing her message, God's Law of Abundance in the Divine Economy, to the Bay Area. This free event is on the 12th of May at 7:30 p.m. at the First Church of Christ Scientists Menlo Park, located at 201 Ravenswood Avenue. Childcare is provided. For more information, call 650-322-5600.